Let's, while they're getting this, let's give them another round of applause. Was that awesome or what? Amen. Amen. Well, it is indeed a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Pastor Spear, for inviting us to come and trusting us with your pulpit this morning. And tell you what, well, you can't preach after that song. You need to quit the business. Amen. Now, I don't know about you all, but I'm excited about my walk with Jesus. I don't know about you all. I know I am. And so I'm going to act like that as I preach this word this morning. Amen. He's brought me from a mighty long way. Now, I don't know if you, I can look around the room and he brought a lot of us from a mighty long way. Amen. Amen. If nothing else, just in our age where he's brought us from. So we're going to open up God's word. I attempt to do two things when I preach the word: equip and encourage. That's it. Pretty simple. Equip you with the word, encourage you along the way in the journey that God has called you and I, the assignment that he's given us in our life. Each and every one of us have an assignment, and it's pretty much the same. Pastor and I was kind of talking about it this morning. That is, go make disciples. Go take the gospel. Amen. Amen. And so what I want to share that with you this morning, I believe God has a message for us, for the church, that and as we look at the word of God and what he has to say, you know, I was looking around and you, some of us representing our school. Hopefully your school won yesterday. Did your school win? Yeah. Something. Oh, man, I tell you what, I was blessed at the University of Alabama. I was blessed, and I go back there today, and I'm involved with the football program because, and I was sharing this with, I took some businessmen down to practice last week, and I was sharing with them what was in my backpack when I came to University of Alabama. What I had in my backpack, that is, what was in my family life, what my personal situation was. And my mother's here this morning. Mom, will you stand? My mother's is here, and thank you, Mom. She'll tell you she is 85 years young. Well, matter of fact, she said she tell people she's 13 going on 12. But you know, when and my mom is we actually in January we celebrated 33 years of sobriety. She's been sober 33 years. So, amen. And when I went to the University of Alabama in 1979, that's 39 years ago, we had one of the situations was, she would say, is she had a drink problem. And so I took that to the University of Alabama, and God had people already there to influence my life and to help me along the way. And so I am eternally indebted to the university. I go back. I've been going, but this is my 17th season serving as chaplain in a volunteer capacity. The university don't pay me. So what we do is we trust God for that, and we raise up partners within our ministry that says they believe in what we do. And we have, God has blessed it, and what it allows, it's really a privilege and an honor because I get a chance to minister to the most powerful head coach in college football. I'm sitting there watching the Georgia-Tennessee game, and I'm sitting there saying, I remember when both of those guys were at Alabama, the head coaches. Coach Pruitt and Coach Smart. I'm saying that. I'm going to give you a little insight. I don't know. You may not be an Alabama fan, but I want to just give you a little insight why God is blessing the program. You don't stumble up on greatness, ladies and gentlemen. It don't fall out of the sky. You're going to have a great family. You're going to have great ministry. You're going to have great children. You're going to have a great business. Whatever it is, it don't fall out of the sky. There are some principles that has to be a foundation that you build off of, whatever it is you build, whether it's church, school, ministry, family. Amen. Amen. Whatever it is that you plan on building. And so I look at what Coach Saban has allowed us to do there. And when I say he we have a chance to influence, because he comes to our chapels 4.5 hours before our ball games. Coach Saban is there with our players and gives me an opportunity to do just like what I'm doing today. So I get a chance to share God's word every week, not just during ball games, but we do Bible studies during the weekday. We get a chance to sit and open up the word of God with young men that have come there, and some of them just like when I came there, and they're getting equipped with the word of God to do what? To be able to take back to their hometown, to take back to their own personal lives. My mother's sober today because somebody equipped Jeremiah Castile with the word of God. So as I share with you today, you know, I pray you'll let the Holy Spirit speak to you, and this message that we'll share will help encourage you. As I thought about it, we're going to be in 2 Chronicles. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is where we'll start. And as I was thinking about this message and sharing it, let me read verse 14. 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land." Recently been reading a book, and the book is entitled The Road Less Traveled, and it's by Dr. M. Scott Peck. And in that book, he talks about, he's a psychiatrist, and over his decades of dealing with people and their circumstances and their situations, in this book, he talks about, matter of fact, I love the first sentence in the book. The first sentence in the book is three words: life is difficult. Life is, and so I like to put it, life's tough. Amen? And if you're going to get up with any other mindset about it, whoo. So as you read the book, he talks about, he sums up that, you know, you have neurosis and psychosis. You can be neurotic or psychotic. And that it comes from people not wanting to confront their problems. And that is, when we don't confront our problems, we create a greater problem than the problem we had by not confronting our problem. That makes sense? And he talks about that in life, God has given us something called discipline to solve our problems. Discipline, he talks about four disciplines. And as I was thinking about this, and just as the Lord said, man, he's right on track. He's on target. Discipline will solve problems. He goes on in the book and he talks about why you shouldn't be afraid of problems, why you should confront problems. And two things he says comes from it. Listen to this, and hopefully it'll give you a different perspective about problems and why we should want to embrace discipline to solve our problems. He says, problems, listen to this, saints, problems create. Problems create courage and wisdom. Woo! Did y'all just hear that? See, most of the time when we think of a problem, we think in the negative. Oh, this is bad. There's nothing good. And we know what Romans 8:28 says. I listened to Tyler Perry being interviewed recently. Says the gentleman was interviewed. He said, well, hey, you got all these awesome things about you. He said, tell me about some of your failures. He said, I haven't had any. Not according to Romans 8:28. So when we have problems, God has placed something called discipline in the earth to solve our problems. So as I've been reading this book, he said, Jeremiah, what born again believer doesn't have a problem? Everybody here, amen, guess what you came in here with? At least one. We have 6 children. 5 grandchildren. Woo! Got some what? Problems. And each one of them, as they've grown, guess what? It can become even more of a problem the older they get. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You could tell when they were young they were going to be a problem. Amen. Y'all loosen up a little bit. It's all right to laugh. Hello, amen. Woo! You don't have to be so tired. So, he says, so in the book, Dr. Peck says, little discipline, you solve little problems or few problems. Anybody in athletics, guess what you want as a coach? You want a player that has great discipline. That guy's going to be victorious for you. He's going to win ball games for you. So he said the problems in life, Jeremiah, that comes with life, whether you're saved and know Jesus or not, guess what? We all live life. And when they don't have Jesus, guess what? They don't have the solution to the problems of life. Now, what that should do for you and I is that should motivate us to share the gospel. What about us that are saved? There's a spiritual discipline that God has given us to confront our problems. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. And pray. What, Northside Baptist? And what? Pray. Prayer is a discipline. If I could go back and look at the last 7 days of your life, how much time was in this discipline? You know, as a defensive back, you play at the highest level. Well, you play at college and pro. How disciplined you think I had to be? 5'9". Who looking for you to be on their team? Tell me. What coach jumping up? I just want me an awesome 5'9 corner. And he look for you. Not when the receivers are 6'4". Get this. So what did I have to develop? Tremendous discipline for success, otherwise failure. So every week when I went out to play in the NFL, guess what I had? I had 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", problems. Every week. How do you succeed? Discipline. Discipline.
discipline.
He was talking this weekend with after we did chapel, and I was talking with a brother. Out of town, he comes to our chapel, and we got to talking about another brother. And it was dealing with money, finances. And so he gave me the reason this brother had given me. He said, well, I'm going to just trust the Lord with that. And I said, hey, next time, just won't you just say, what about the gospel? You ever thought about what is the gospel? Because he was talking about he was going to trust the Lord with his finances. All of us have to do that. But he was just staying out there and he was keeping everything vague because he wasn't disciplined in his finances. He didn't have discipline in his finances. So you want to keep it spiritual. I said, the gospel is a plan. Amen. The gospel is God's plan for all mankind. The gospel is a plan. What am I saying? You be disciplined about it. Are you disciplined about sharing it? Ooh. When the last time you shared the gospel? Are you disciplined? Are you a disciplined one? If I'd ask, are you a disciple of Jesus? Are you disciplined? And what we want to do is we want to keep things spiritual and not have practicality to our lives. Prayer is, you practice prayer. You practice praying. How come? Because we got problems. I look around the room, some of us been living long enough. Some of us done encountered a whole lot of problems. How do we take the discipline of prayer and overcome the problems? That's what I want to share with you today. That's what God wants to share with you. You know what? You know why I'm standing before you? I'm a product of prayer. I believe everybody in the room. You say even know Jesus, amen? From Jesus himself at the right hand of the Father praying, right? Amen? Woo! Little old Baptist church in Phoenix City, Pleasant Grove Baptist Church, 1974, the summer. They had revival. The first week or two was nothing but prayer. That's all it is. Just pray. Prayed me right on in there. To the front row. And the preacher preached a couple of weeks later. He shared the gospel and I received Jesus. Hadn't looked back. I'm a product of prayer. You are too. Now, what we got to ask ourselves, how disciplined are you at it? God saw that there was a problem. He sent Jesus. Now, our job, see, your job and my job is to take Jesus and make him known to those God bring in our lives. Amen. 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 This ain't no secret gospel. It ain't something you keep to yourself. But there's a discipline that you and I need to be equipped with to have the power. You need power. Y'all watch football game? Next time you're watching the game, when they run what we call OT play, that's an offensive tackle, OT me off. That big 6'6", I don't know, some of them weigh close to 400 pounds. It's just humongous. I call them tractor trailers. They pull. When they run an OT play, that tackle is pulling, and a lot of times he's looking for that little pesky defensive back. And be the corners. Now, I can tell you right now, he ain't in a good mood. He's there for he's strictly doing business. And man, I'm telling you what, boy, they'll come up and they'll wipe a little defensive back out. You see it all the time in that bit. Yeah, so every game, guess what? I had a problem. Now, why you go in the weight room? Work out all year round and do all squats and bench and all that so that you can create power to take on that big old tractor trailer. If you don't have any power, guess what's going to happen? Next. How you know? Been there. Done that. Hello, amen. Rookie year in Cleveland. It's snowing. Snow's on the ground. Joe DeLamalure is one of them fellas. Old T play. Whoo, he pulled around there. I read the play too late. Man, he come up there, and next thing I know, they waking me up. So how many fingers you see, Jeremiah? It looked like you got two up. Oh, you ready to go back in the game, didn't you? Hold on, wait a minute. That play worked. They were going to run it again. I was going to see Joe again. Did I have a problem that day? Yes. Boy, and I tell you what, his head was that big. Had a big bull head. Oh, man, how you get such a big head? Where they get helmets for your head? Goodness. When we pray, is it my sermon title? When we pray. Not if. Jesus told the disciples, when you pray. Not when you feel like it. How many practices you think I had to practice where it was just, oh, hunky-dory, I feel like doing this today, man. I'm all... You have games like that. I played in a game in New York against the Giants. I had seafood poisoning the night before. Didn't sleep all night. Temperature 100 plus, 100, 200, 300, 400. Totally dehydrated. Y'all know how I got there, don't you? You can let your imagination work there. Hey, you know what? They give you a little Pedialyte the next day, pat you on the bum, say, go sick 'em. Sick 'em. Oh, that's the way that business works, ladies and gentlemen. Sick 'em. What do you mean? You came around and said, I don't want to play. And said, well, did we write you a check last week? That's the way that business works. What did I have to do? I had to sick 'em. See, we're sitting with, the one of the reasons you're probably not disciplined is because you're trying to create a discipline when you feel like it. You never will. You never will. My first remembrance of prayer, I'm probably, my mother's heard me say this, I was probably 5, 6 years old. Living there in 405 South Seal Road. She was on the side of the bed. Praying. My first remembrance of prayer that brought me to a place of realizing there was a God. I didn't come to the Lord that at that moment, but that's my first remembrance of my mother praying. When we pray. So I titled that in. I believe that we should be excited about building the discipline because there are tremendous benefits, blessings when we pray. Now look at what the verse says. I believe if means conditional. Then you need God has said, Jeremiah, partner with me in this. Come to this place where you build this discipline in your life. If my people will pray and seek my face, repent and turn from their ways, we're going to hear from heaven. Let me ask you, Northside, do we need to be hearing from heaven? Yes, we do. So, I took the word prayer, just did an acrostic. The P in prayer. Presence. Presence. We won't turn back there, but if you go back to chapter 5, you find that when Solomon prayed, when they were getting ready to dedicate the temple, the presence of God filled the temple. Presence. You and I should be excited, enthused about not being able to wait for the next time that we can come into his presence. Does that excite you? Does that fire you up that you can come into the awesome presence of God? King of kings, Lord of lords, ruler over everything. You get to sit and be in his presence. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Whoa. Not that doesn't fire you up. You know, I know some people that have been more excited about meeting Coach Saban or Coach Bryant or whoever your favorite team coach is. Tiger Woods. I don't know who your favorite movie star. Ain't it amazing? And God made all those people. He's the creator. Well, I ain't all excited about that. Time to pray again. Oh, my goodness. We call a prayer meeting. The pastor just said, hey, such and such time this week, next week, and this month, we're gonna have prayer time. Don't y'all get so mad with me and tell Pastor don't invite him back. I pray this encourage you and equip you so that you're powerful. Amen? Amen? Amen. When you what? Gotta confront your problems. Until we leave this earth, we're gonna have to do that. So his presence. When you pray, you're entering into. Let me ask you, can I ask you this? When are you not in his presence? When are you not in his presence? The psalmist say, if I go to the highest height, the lowest low, you are there. So this is what I believe. His presence should dictate a posture. His presence should dictate a posture. Look at the verse. If my people who are called by my name would humble posture. What is your posture? What is your daily posture like? You're in his presence. Now you may not realize that, but you're in his presence if you go to what his word says. Then it should dictate a posture of humility. This Old Testament verse, can I give you a New Testament? Pray without. I can't tell you the times I prayed and I saw God answer. I just introduced somebody to you. Praying, 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 praying as a teenager. Praying, praying, praying. God answers. And our six children grew up with the greatest grandmother in the world, as they'll tell you. They can't even imagine when I tell them that she did. We can't see that, Dad. You know why? Because God's word is powerful. He said, guess what I'll do? I'll cover it all. You know what's hindering a lot of you? Your sins. Can I help you with it? They're covered by the blood. Whew. When last time you thought about what I just said? See, you're letting your sin that you committed that God says has already been covered weigh you down. Keep you with a guilty conscience of being able to come into. When last time you said, Lord, I'm just going to enjoy you today. Well, you know what, Lord, I just want to enjoy you today. We can enjoy the company of our wives, our children, our grandchildren, our co. But when last, that's what I'm talking about, just hanging out with him. Woo, amen. Well, everywhere. I give you, talking about this pray without what? Ceasing. So last week we played a ball game over there, Texas. You know what I do when I go to the practices, to the ball game, to the church? I pray. Yeah, what do you mean? The whole while. Oh, you can't do that, can you? He said, pray without ceasing. When you stop, I take a few breaths. I go back to praying. Go back to praying. Yeah. We had 100-something players on that sideline last week. Guess what? I'm standing back there in the back. Pierce Spear said, get behind everybody. Look at that name on that jersey, and you pray for him right now. And I just, get through with the player, then hit the train. Hello, amen. Hit the coach. Amen. Yeah. I keep a list of all. I got a list of all of our players, coaches. I just go down through that list, and we just pray. Time is up, isn't it, golly? And all I was able to hit was the P. And got us started, didn't I? Amen. Posture. What's your posture like? Because he's present. I'm not talking about just your little set aside time where you get in the posture that I probably was in just then. I'm talking about just what is your daily, when you get up, your eyes open, that you realize I'm in the presence of the living God. Eternal, immortal, invisible. Rule over everything. Seize every thought. Know every word intention. Oh. Sometimes we won't ask you, what you think this is? What do you think life is? Saints, what do you think life is? In this great discipline that we get a chance to develop on this side, we spend very little time doing it. And I can tell you how God disciplined me. I used to love to watch NBA basketball. He said, that's a 2.5-hour game. You're going to sit up and you can't pray 2.5 hours, but you can watch a 2.5-hour game? Oh, Lord, I repent. Father, I repent right now. And I just started right there. I can tell you where you can get to. 2010, 2011. So when I took a trip to California, I drove out there, Brother Jerry, and drove back. Well, why you drive out there? Because if I'd have flew out there, I wouldn't have had enough hours to pray. I was driving back. You know, the Lord said, why don't you just pray coming back? Got on the road, I drove back 34 hours straight. I hit Arizona into the night, and the Holy Spirit just started praying through me all night. Prayer. Prayer. When we pray. If my people who are called by my name would take the right posture and pray. Some of us got loved ones. I have a brother recently been released from incarceration, and I know why he's alive. Because of that lady sitting on that third row right. She been praying. Because everything in the natural says he should be dead. prayer. And you've heard this as I close today. And I turn it back over to Brother Jerry. Prayer, and y'all know, changes things. You want this church to change? You want to change yourself? You want the world to change? You want people to change? If my people, that's you and I, who are called by his name. What's his name? We've been singing it. Jesus. What's his name? Jesus. Whew. I was talking to a group of young folks this summer and they're talking about the camp. I said, hey, you know, they got this thing, they call it Boston Strong. And they was, you know, I said, man, be Jesus strong. I was talking to them. They was all on the, yeah, we're going to be Jesus strong. I'm going to be Jesus strong. How about being Jesus strong in our prayer life? When we do, we're going to see lives changed. One of those 8,000 or so that we saw this summer, I close it, just what's great to me about God is he got a great sense of humor. So we're doing a camp up, this camp in North Carolina that we do. You can be running, they can throw a pass, and by the time the receiver catches, he'll go from the football field to a corn patch. Corn is high, just because we out in the country, baby. Just straight country. Corn, tomatoes, whatever, hey, they're growing all everything. So we have our chapel, and we had 400 high schoolers come to Jesus. So we out there a couple of hours later, and one of the young men that got saved come up to me. He says, Coach, I got saved today. I'm like, where are you from? Straight out the hills? Lord said, don't I have a sense of humor? So wherever he's from, he's going to take Jesus back. Coach, I got saved today. Young Caucasian young man, come up and bear hug me. Coach, I got saved today. Hallelujah, brother. Amen. Amen. Wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you want to hear those words from somebody that don't look like you, don't talk like you, don't walk like you, but they know the same Jesus. Hallelujah. It ain't happening north side until we start doing what 2 Chronicles 7:14 said we need to be doing. If my people.
We're not through. Sit down. If my people, okay, here's where it starts. Are you his people? You got to know him to talk to him. And so if you are here today and you haven't invited Jesus to save your soul, you are here for that purpose, and we want to give you that opportunity. All you have to do is just want him. He wants you. He died for you on a cross, all for you. He shed his blood for you, and all you have to do is say yes. If you are here and you have never invited Jesus to be your Savior, then in just a moment, we're going to sing a song. When we sing that song, you get down here. Just say, I want Jesus. That's all you have to say. I understand that. We can talk together. We can pray together. In just a few moments, Jesus will come into your heart and will save your soul forever. Then you're his people. Believers, we have been blessed in this church as I know no other church to have been blessed. We have a relationship with one another. We have a relationship with Jesus. We have love for one another. We care about one another. But we have gotten laxed in praying for one another, in standing by one another, and in reaching out together to reach others. If we're going to fill this building for Jesus, and more importantly, start filling heaven for Jesus. We got to be more committed to pray, more committed to humble ourselves, more committed to the gospel, more committed to share, committed to actually invite people to come, bring people. And so, if you don't know Jesus, I ask you to come to know Him. If you know Him, I ask you to commit yourself to live for Him. Don't go to the back seat. Don't sit on the sideline. It's time to be in the game. If you're not challenged by listening to Jeremiah, you may not be challengeable. Jesus wants to use you. Jesus wants to use this church. Jesus wants to change this city. Oh, and it needs to start now. I'm going to have a word of prayer. And then we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. But when I conclude my prayer, I'm calling you to come to this altar and pray. Saved, I'm glad you're saved. Come to the altar and pray. Know somebody that's lost, come to the altar and pray. Know that we need to be more for Jesus than we have been. Come to the altar and pray. And God will do a work as a result of this day. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we ask you to move in our hearts, to draw us to decisions, to let our minds and hearts process what we have heard, that we would make a decision, Father, and that decision would change everything, Father, not for a day, but for the remainder of our lives. Father, I pray for those that are here that don't know you, that they would come to know you, that they would be saved this day, that they would just say, I want Jesus. And Father, for believers, especially for members of this church, that there would be a change in our heart and mind, Father, a change in our dedication, our determination, our discipline, that we might shake the world for you. Move us, Father, in this moment. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You come as we sing.